Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello. Hello there, Dustin.
Hello, brother. How's it going this evening?
Oh, fantastic.
All right. All right. What do you got for us?
Okay. Well, we talked before the pod. I was running out to fix my heating unit. Because it freezes up. So if you have any, if there's any HVAC techs out there and they want to give me a cheap, simple fix, like, oh, plug in the doodly-doo. I have a feeling I'm going to need someone with a lot of expertise to come and fix it and charge me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or just tell me I need a new one. It's like, yeah, never mind. I'm not going to do that.
65
but, is so I didn't have time to find a quote, but I was looking at this image and I actually screenshotted it. It's talking about life must be understood backwards. There's these life paths that are open to you and life paths that are closed to you. So it's two diagrams, right? Mm-hmm. It's you're born and then... Think of a tree and then roots going down into the ground, right? How they just spread out and there's 1,000 different roots.
Right.
And there's one path that's highlighted, the one that you went, that one root, right? Which is encouraging and discouraging at the same time, right? Hopefully you're happy with where you're at, but you're also, I guess not discouraging, it's just, makes you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I could have gone down any of one of those, let's say, the roots. But then the encouraging part, the other side of the diagram is your future. It starts with that same dot as if you were just born. And then the whole tree, the whole roots start again, which is, I thought was really, that's like the second part of it, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh, it's still the dot is still that one point.
Right.
But we still have 10,000 roots, which can go way up or way down or left or right. I just thought it was interesting. I think when I was looking at that picture on Instagram or whatever, it was one of those kind of corny inspirational things that every once in a while kind of work.
You know, right.
You usually just kind of roll your eyes and go by.
Okay. Yeah.
But positive affirmation. I guess that's why there's so many of them. Like one's going to hit you.
Right.
But the roots to me were just like all different ideas because we're constantly like thinking of video ideas and different things and like so it's like where could this thing take us and could it take us into a whole new thing, a whole new style of channel, could it a route with a lot of money in it, that'd be a cool route to follow. A route with like a video with 20 million views in a day and then you get like a $10,000 paycheck, that'd be sweet.
Oh, man. I think that's it's reassuring. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, like, oh man, there's so many things I could have done mm-hmm. and I could have gone. But then, yeah, like you said, you see what's ahead of you, you know, it's all the possibilities are there.
Right. It starts all over again.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe limited in the traditional things you might want to do, maybe.
Right.
Like, obviously, if you're 17 and you have no responsibilities, your roots are widespread or the paths are widespread and you've got more responsibilities. But I still think it's wide open. It's just in different ways.
Right. It's like the original root system is like fatter roots, right? They're more broad. It's like, you know, like a porn star is on one side, you know, as well as like race car driver.
I think I'm far from that path.
And then the other side is, you know, like husband, you know, like father, teacher, you know, like there's, you know, these like broad range of things like adventurer, explorer, you know, or like, all these things that have less responsibilities to the people around you, right? And then there's like the paths that if you take these paths,
yeah, that's the other side. That's the other side of the roots. That's
right, exactly.
Those roots heading north; these are heading east or whatever.
Yeah. So then, within those root systems, there's all your options for what you can do inside of that. You know, within reason to the choices you have made so far.
Yeah, I like the picture. It was nice. I was like, it's a cool thought because you're like, oh yeah, there's a million options still,
right?
You know, until you're like 90, then maybe you've hit a few roots and you forget roots and you don't know what happened,
right? But then, you know, then you think about like, so your root system then continues on past you. It's your like what your legacy is. That's the new root system. So everything you've touched now like sprays out. You know, so all these little root paths go down.
Your children's paths.
Yeah. Or, you know, like someone you affected at this point did something. They did it because you affected them. You know, so it's like that would be kind of a cool graphic is have like your root system, you know, it's highlighted your direction, but then all these other root systems that are affected, it has your same highlighter line color.
Yeah.
But it's like all the things that are happening around you because of you.
It's like the ancestry trees that you know, if you ever do an ancestry.com, you see how far back it goes and you're like, wow. The bonus quote, as the great George Harrison said, life goes on within you and without you.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, I've told Corinne multiple times over the years that, like, I don't know if this is exactly relating to this, but that she shouldn't do or be something that's gonna pigeonhole her, you know, like or make people judge you in a certain way and like prejudge you before they get to meet you, you know. So it's like people who, you know, goth people, right, who are dressed all super in black and fishnets and like you know, dark eyeliner, like you're being judged before people ever get to meet you. So I mean, like, I'm not telling her to not have self-expression, but to like, but to do it in a way where people can judge you based off of you and they're not prejudging you based off of what they think that you are before you are something.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the old thing, like cut your hair, do this and do that. It's because the parents are always trying to kind of give you a blank slate when it comes to others, how they're judging you. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Don't have this crazy thing, and it's whatever the norm is. Obviously, back in the day, it was cut your hair and now have tattoos. Today, that doesn't matter as much. It's more like, maybe don't wear something crazy. Maybe don't constantly have colored hair or some. You know, it's like, or whatever it is. Like, don't wear that. That's a little weird.
Yeah, don't like, act a certain way. Like, don't let people judge you needlessly.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, it's not necessary. Like my buddy, like Nick Huffman, he used to wear like a Flavor Flav clock to school. But Nick, I think he was like desperate for attention sometimes.
Yeah,
so there was a little bit of that, but it was also hilarious. He would just do
hilarious.
It. But you know, there you're gonna be a lot of people are gonna judge you one way or the other. That's
right.
Just try to stay. Yes, try to stay open to everything. Hang out there by a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was talking with Nicole and Corinne. We were out to dinner tonight, and Corinne was saying how, like, one of her best friends, Cody, is, like, friends with lots of people. You know, he's just like that type of personality. He's like, oh, you know, this person. And she's like, no. She's like, I don't even know who you're talking about. He's like, why not? They're like in our class and they've been in Corinne, her personality is very much more like kind of wallflowery. You know, she's happy to be just like on the side doing her thing, like not the center of attention. She's got like her few good friends, but she doesn't like need more than that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny, like thinking about the different, different personalities that people have. Cause I, you know, I was always like someone who drifted from group to group and I was friends with lots of people, you know? So, but I was only really good friends with a couple people. And so, you know, it's like,
But also, that's good to have. Cause also you can do that, but then you have a few friends like her friend Cody where then they do like, oh, here, I'll introduce you to these people and these people. Then you know, you kind of slide into this group for a bit or that group.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, don't wall yourself off. But yeah, there we go. Choose your path, good people. It's wide open.
As you were like talking about it, I was thinking about like you were saying goes forward and goes backward. And I was like, does that mean from like when you die back to where you were, like back to your birth? Like what are, you know?
What do you mean forward? What do you mean? What did I say?
Well, you were saying the quote, like you said something about like, life goes forward, but also goes backwards.
The quote above the picture is something about philosophy telling life can be understood backwards.
Ah, right.
Right. You don't know anything going forwards. When you look back, you can then see the paths or some of them that you have missed or it can be understood a little better.
Yeah, and it's easy to, they say, like, dwell on the past, right? Mm-hmm. Or hindsight is 20/20. That's what all those, like, quotes are getting at, is that, like, yeah, we can see really clearly what's already happened. But, you know, there are lots of things that will still happen, you know, that you have to just, like, have faith that you'll be able to, you know, do this. Or you have to have the drive to do something on your own. Or, you know, like, the determination to make something happen. Or the goal to try something out new or whatever.
This is where we need a sponsor from like BetterHelp.
That's today's sponsor.
You can talk to someone, BetterHelp. Talk to a therapist and get your life on track.
It actually kind of reminds me, I'm reading a book right now. I'm listening to a book called Blood and Treasure, I think it's called. Let me see. I had it up on here. It's in my... and it's the autobiography or whatever. I think I was telling you, or not autobiography, but it's a kind of biography, kind of look at the history of Daniel Boone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's that thing. It's like, what do you want to do? Do you have like the desire to go and do something new and be something new? Or are you like a homebody? Are you okay with staying back? Or like what's important to you? So, you know, he talks about Daniel. He always had this like wanderlust, but he was also like a family man. You know, he wanted to have kids and he wanted, you know, but he was, but he just, he like a lot of the other like long hunters and trappers and trackers were just, they were people who preferred to not be in the company, like not be in the middle of society.
Sure.
You know? So, you know, it's that like, do you have that adventure? Do you have the will to go to a new place and try a new thing? Are you someone who's happy to like have your comforts around you? And that's what makes you happy. You know, it is a society that we live in that has a variety of those people, which make, you know, it's the spice of life.
It's a bit more frowned upon now to leave for 6 months to 2 years at a time. Wives get bitter.
Leave your wife behind with all the children.
Nagging me. I'll be back in 6 months. What do you want?
I'm going to see if I can find the land of milk and honey. I mean, geez.
Got scalped last month. I'm stressed too. It's not all fun and games.
Jim's got a hole in the top of his head.
Yeah, Mike's dead.
He's got to get that thing patched up.
Yeah, a couple guys died.
A couple guys died.
Got it out of hand.
Yeah, it's
Those long hunter stories are really interesting to listen to. Like I was listening to the Meat Eater ones, and just people would just get killed and murdered and die and sick. Just, you know, you just run into the wrong group of people or the wrong, the wrong Native Americans.
Yeah, right.
You just didn't know, and they were just, you know, oh, that's the wrong tribe, or these young guys just want to fight.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're right pissed or wrong
about
tribe.
Something
yeah.
we're not sure why they're pissed about.
Yeah.
And right. I don't understand their dialect, so Yeah, two guys died and they just left me and took all my stuff. Like,
yeah, crazy, you know. But that's like, you know, it's an adrenaline rush, I guess. You know, that's that path. You know, that's exciting. Your pathway. You want the adrenaline rush pathway, or do you want the, you know, go to bed with your wife every night pathway?
Like, oh, baby.
Yeah, right. Exactly. A little bit of both. I do. I was like, in this book, they talked pretty. In detail about the dress of the, like, the voyagers, you know, like the I mean, the Indians, but also the English and, you know, the settlers and like the ones like Dan de Boone who adopted more of the Native American dress. So the like breech cloth, and leggings and moccasins.
Right, a lot of the hunters just, it's what was out there, and when you're gone and something gets torn and ripped, you just learn, like, or you trade for that stuff, and then you learn.
Right, yeah.
What do you have? You know what? You guys are out here. Wow, how'd you do that?
Right, exactly, yeah. And they talked about, like, it was kind of cool. I've heard the term Lindsay Woolsey a lot over the years, and Lindsay Woolsey is a, like, linen and wool mix of, you know, like, a fabric made out of the two. But the way it talked about it, the way it made is the linen is the one direction, the warp. And then the wool is the weft, right? So it's like when you're weaving, you have vertical lines and horizontal lines. So one of the, I don't know which one's which, but, you know, and I always thought that like Lindsay Woolsey was a mix of linen fibers and wool fibers together to make a yarn to weave out of. But apparently it's like weaving, you know, one direction in linen and the other direction in wool.
Lindsay, I've never heard that term in my life.
Really? Really? Never. Huh.
Maybe it was so bizarre to me, I just didn't. It's one of those words you just don't read in your head.
Yeah.
You know, you just move past it.
Yeah, right.
You recognize it as a symbol and not a word.
Lindsay Woolsey.
Well, can we name the episode that, please, or at least half of it?
Lindsay Woolsey.
Lindsay Woolsey.
That's like, what is name. Lindsay Woolsey?
People are like, it's like some Dr. Seuss stuff.
I mean, I feel like, maybe I've heard it just because of like being like interested in Native American culture for a really long time, or also being around like when Nicole worked at Strawberry Bank Museum, you know, like there's the history of like a lot of different stuff, and I don't know, but or maybe just being like married to a person who loves knitting and is doing all sorts of stuff with wool. Like maybe like I heard it through her. I'm not sure, but it's definitely a term that was common that I was very familiar with. I just didn't understand exactly how Lindsay Woolsey was made. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But they said all their tunics basically were Lindsay Woolsey, right? So they'd have like their long tunic and they'd have the loincloth underneath of it. And then they'd have like a belt. And so it would like be billowed out over top of the belt. And then they have their leggings tied up to the belt and they'd have, you know, a pouch for, like tobacco. And then they'd have their knife, you know, usually around the lanyard around their neck. And then they'd have their tomahawk through the belt. Yeah. And, you know, so it was like just a very clear, detailed version of like that outfit that we see in movies like The Last Mohicans and Dances with Wolves and so on and so forth.
That would really be a great, speaking of new paths, to like, you know, you've been doing Viking stuff.
Yeah,
so do full dress, discuss everything, maybe make one of the pieces and do just an episode, a video one, dressing up as this.
Yeah.
And then, or then dressing up as a frontiersman or, a trapper, like, this is everything they'd have, and this neck thing, and this, and talk about what they do, but just be dressed as it.
Right.
You know, one by one, just go, you know, make a 10-minute video and talk about everything.
Yeah. Start out there standing naked, like, hello.
Just holding yourself.
I'm going to get dressed.
Here we go.
But it's always kind of interesting. I was like, oh, man, just hearing, like, the detail in that, like, them talking about that dress and, you know, the mystique and the allure of like the Indians, like growing up, like as kids, we're always running around the woods making bows and stuff and playing with sticks and making up stories and things. And so it's like
talking about Lindsay Woolsey
or Lindsay Woolsey tunics.
Let's play Lindsay Woolsey.
It's funny, so far in the book, he's the the author, whatever, has mentioned multiple times, like, and nowhere in his, like, garments were a coonskin hat, like, because the whole, like, Daniel Boone wearing a coonskin hat is the, like, image of him, but...
Yeah, didn't he wear it after, like, after books came out about him, after articles came out about him?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He wore two things because it was a, you know...
Yeah, it was, like,
what that's what he was known for.
Right, and he's like, he was really well known all up and down the whole Appalachian Mountain, you know, like the eastern side of Appalachian Mountains, and then eventually, obviously, the western side, the whole Ohio River Valley, and all the way out to the Mississippi and all. But the pretty cool.
Yep.
But
all right.
But yeah, those like wild adventures, the wild adventure,
wild America.
Yeah. So how about them Ravens, man?
How about them Ravens? So.
Oh, so good.
Football it's funny, fans, you're, listen
I,
up.
I mentioned this to you, but I mentioned it to a couple other people, how, like, when we were talking last week, and I guess maybe we talked on the podcast or after the podcast, maybe both, about the Ravens. And you mentioned how you're like, well, if they don't win against the Steelers and the Steelers are not good, then we don't have any business going on forward.
Right.
And I liked that mindset. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, like if we're going to win the Super Bowl, we've got to be able to beat all these teams, and they're all good teams. And if we don't beat them, then we probably wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
You know, like if you lose to,
wouldn't, but
yeah. If you lose to the Bills or Kansas City, you understand. And hopefully it was, you had a good game, which when we did lose to those teams, we did not have good games.
Right.
But it's also those teams are so good. Sometimes they make you look like you're off your game because they're putting you off your game.
Right, yeah.
But if the Steelers were to put us off our game,
yeah,
they're scrubs this year.
Right, exactly.
It's just not a good team. So it's, I was like, and it's so early on. It's just like you gotta destroy these guys.
Right.
What I was hoping would happen.
Yeah.
Like, we're just, every level, we're better than that team this year. Yeah. And that's, as a lifetime Ravens fan and respect for the Steelers, as a good, normally a really good arch enemy.
Yeah, right.
Right? Exactly. It's like when, whatever, Superman and Lex Luthor, when one falls down and they can't fight, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
half right. The fun is that you're good. Like, it's always, but this time it was just like, let's put them out of their misery. Let's hurt them.
Yeah. And, but it was also such a good, season in that rivalry because they were like, they started out better and they were, they were strong. You know, they beat us the first game and then they were strong and then they were all the way strong basically up until we beat them. And then they lost like five games in a row or four games in a row after that.
We,
you know,
we won five straight and they lost five straight. I think when we were down by three games, I was like, well, that's it. You know, it's kind of one of those things like, all right, we're just gonna be a wild card team. That's fine.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But the unthinkable happened. They lost five, and we won five, and here we are. So Bills next.
Yeah, man. I'm, like I said, I think out of all the teams that are left, the Bills, I think, are the strongest. Or, I mean, maybe the Lions, too, but really, I think the Bills. So, you know, I think if we can beat them as well as we did the first time we played in the season, which, you know, we should, because Derrick Henry is a beast, and him aside, Lamar Jackson is just like such a crazy dynamic duo. You know, and that was like evident in the Steelers game when what TJ Watt was like coming flying around the corner and he would just like slam into like Derrick Henry and Lamar would just run by him with the ball, you know, like,
I think they're both
so good.
Game plan was to just shut down Henry or try.
Yeah. Right.
Like always hit the running back. Let's just aim for the running back. And that was that thing where you're like, okay, now Lamar has to go and run. And he just did. Yeah. He just kept doing it. Boom, boom. Like he ran more in that Steelers game than he has in a long time.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. Great. And like, we're like, don't get hurt. And then when he did get like kneed in the back, you know, I was like, oh, we're like watching him. And I did watch the Hard Knocks episode. So like you see him say that. Yeah. He's like, oh man, he kneed me in the back. And I actually said that, like, when they show the replay, I was like, oh yeah, he got kneed in the back. Like you could see it. I'm sure that's why it is.
It's funny when he got kneed in the back. Do you see how many teammates were trying to pick him up? You only need one guy to pick you up.
Yeah.
But you had four dudes all picking up. That was their mental state. Like, please get up. You know, they're all like
Yeah, five come guys on, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
oh,
dude, it's all right. It's like when it's like, yeah, when you hurt your little brother or something.
Everyone's
yeah, like, come right. on, you're right, be cool, stop crying, you're like, don't cry. they yeah, wished no,
they
it.
Did. They also they're they like, did. You're good. They kept walking by him.
He's like, I'm all right.
Yeah, you're good. We need you. You're good.
And I think he ran on the next play. It was funny. You could hear the great thing. I had the defense and offense wired up. They're like, man, he's going to run on us. He's playing us.
After
he runs the next play. But, yeah, no, it was great game. Great fun. It was good in the stadium. We had a good time. The replay crew had a good showing. Nice. We had everything out in time. We the week before, we got some compliments from, I don't know, some coaches or something. Every once in a while, we get like a word up.
Oh,
From the boss tells us what other people were saying, because he works right in the facility, you know, in the castle.
Yeah.
So he talks to all those people. So they were very happy with the speed in which we got everything out and looks at things.
Yeah, right on.
That's cool. Nice to hear when they shout you out. You're like, all right, you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, right. You feel like you're part of the, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, they won because of us. We helped. You know, we had our part.
But
I mean, it is, like, it's a significant part. You know, like, there are big plays that are made or broken by the replays.
Yeah.
You know, what you can see, and that's the whole crew. You know, it's like people capturing, and obviously, you know, like you get it up in time so they can see it up on the big screen so they can decide to challenge or not, you know.
Yeah.
And then the good angles getting caught by the cameraman and
you
stuff.
You have to have good camera shots to start out with. So, but our crew is awesome. We have 13 camera guys in-house, which is like unheard of.
Dang.
And none of those camera guys are, you don't see them on TV. It's all for the board.
Right.
Some are just isolated on receivers. Some are wide. Some are tight. We got two hand. My cameras are a high end zone. We have, you know, we cover both end zone, but I got the high end zone on one side, and then I actually have both handhelds on either side of the field. So those are good. Those are good looks because they kind of chase the teams down the field, and then they set up, you know, 10 yards ahead always, or they try, you know, and get those great shots coming in straight at you in the corner of the end zone, you know, the ball flying at you.
Yeah.
Those are, crazy. we got some good shooters, but when you get one of those replays off quick and you're like, oh, I got it. Or you call something out and people don't notice.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you roll it back right away and, like, oh, he doesn't have it, or like, that's a catch. Like, you know, you like, automatically you, we all have headsets on. So you we call it selling. You sell your shot. You just, you know, hey, I got this. Check this out. Take red. He called it. And then they, you know, they take your feed and then you roll back for him and roll it real slow and listen to the crowd go crazy.
How many replay guys work for the Ravens?
Five now.
Dang.
It used to be two. When I worked for the Redskins, it was just one. It was just me.
Dang. But
Ravens have always had two up until 2015, 2016 maybe. Mm. And then they got five machines. So I, for a while, I was the backup to the two guys.
Right.
So then when they got five, I was in, and then I got some other people in. Who I know and some other people. So now we got a nice replay crew.
Nice. And you said, how many feeds do you have coming into you specifically?
I have six, but I basically replay three.
Okay.
The two channels next to me, they're 4K. They each have three ins and one out. I have six ins and two outs, and the other two machines have six ins and two outs.
Nice.
So I can sell two angles, and we all have colors. All your outputs are named.
Right.
We have red, blue, gold, silver, X, Y, A, B. And those are all different.
That's
people.
All the outs.
So right, I'm gold, silver. So all you have to do, you know, to make it simple, is you just go on your mic and go gold.
Yeah.
Or red. You can give them a little bit more details if you need to.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this on gold, or if you see that they're doing something, and and we all kind of work together. So it's, if someone does a high look, then someone mm-hmm. will sell a low look, and then mm-hmm. someone else may sell a react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, and you know, you only have so much time. So unless it's a touchdown, then you can do them all. You can evade angles. But if it's in between plays, it's, you can only usually get one or two off. But if it's a really big play and, you know, long run, you have more time because the team's, you know, moving. And then you can have someone show a, hey, I got the react, or I got the hero, and they'll show that, you know, person celebrating and going crazy.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's fun.
Nice. That's awesome.
But yeah, great game.
Yeah, what do you think about Josh Allen? Like him against he's the Lamar.
Man, huh? He's the man.
Yeah, he is. I know, and I feel like, you know, I want Lamar to win MVP, but like, if Josh Allen gets it, like, that's fine. You know, like I think it's just a shame because Lamar's having such a good season.
Yeah.
It's like so crazy good. But the fact that he has two of them already, I think is like, I mean, it's in my mind, so I'm sure it's in the mind of the voters. You know, it's like, should it matter? No, it should be the best player, the most valuable player in the league. Right. But does it matter? Of course, it's already happened, so of course it's in their mind somewhere. So,
I think you should just. I heard someone else say it on whatever I was watching, something on YouTube. It makes sense. Just give it to the guy who wins this game.
Right.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't matter because MVP is only
it shouldn't. It shouldn't. That's what they say. But in all honesty, no one's really sure. And they're going up against each other in a high pressure situation.
Right.
So I would give it, I mean, I think they already vote, or they're going to vote, or they start voting. Yeah. But I would just do it. You know, you just give them the trophy right after the game.
There you go.
Hey, you won. We were wondering, not that the quarterbacks necessarily play each other, but it's a huge game and both teams are evenly matched, so I would be happy with whoever wins this game to win, because it'll sting more if the Ravens lose and Lamar gets it. You don't care then.
Yeah,
or if the Bills lose and Josh Allen gets it. It's like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like it's got to be like, it should be voted on and given out after the last game of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? Like, because then,
but then they would be a little influenced by, hey, this guy won the Super Bowl, and you know, he should be.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not supposed to, but that will influence your.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the voting. Right. Yeah. The voting is based off the season.
Or maybe, maybe just vote at the end of the season and don't tell the results until.
Right.
The Super Bowl. But. You know, it doesn't really mean anything, and I actually hope he doesn't get it, because he doesn't care. He's already got it twice, and it's better to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder than a, ooh, MVP again, you better do good, that type of thing.
Right, yeah.
Because if he does not make it the Super Bowl and he wins another MVP, that's just going to add to the fuel of, he can't do it. He got the MVP again, but he couldn't do it when it counted. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. He's the most valuable player of the seasons, but not in the postseason.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't really care too much about that. I just want some wins. We'll see. It's a good team. That's all you can do.
It's been a fun, you know, like, storyline to kind of, like, listen and pay attention to, you know? So, like, it's made me want to watch more Bills games for the second half of the season, because the dialogue's there. It's like, who's better, you know? So it's like, I'm watching and I'm rooting against the Bills because I want them to do worse. So that way then, you know, Lamar wins MVP. But again, it's just given me, like, a reason to care about other games. Because, like, I love football, but I really love Ravens football. You know, like, I'll watch other football games that are on, but I'm not really paying attention in the same way as I am when I'm watching the Ravens.
I'm the same way. I've only ever done, like, fantasy once. And when you gamble on it, it helps. Well, it helps, but...
It gives you the motivation to watch other
things. But other than that, I don't really care. And I get enough sports as it is just working them. So I don't need
Spend
all my time at home.
Yeah. Sean said he did fantasy one year, and he was like, it's just kind of exhausting, because I'm like thinking about other football games every week and watching stuff. And like, he's like, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. And there was
it was kind of fun because he likes the competition, but you know.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, then you're kind of watching the game for the wrong reasons. The same thing with gambling. It is fun.
Yeah.
But then you're like, ah, shit, like, I needed Andrews to catch it, not... Right. No, I didn't want Henry to get that touchdown. I wanted Andrews or whoever, whatever. Likely, yeah. You know? you can't just enjoy it for the spectacle
of it and the adrenaline rush. Yeah, right. It reminds me of that time we were watching, I forget which game it was, but it was one of the playoff games, and we were at Guy and Abby's.
Oh, yeah. And, I think it was last year. Was
it
last year?
Was it? Yeah, so. I think it was last year, too. And they were, what game? I mean, I think we won that game, didn't we? Must have been one of that missed, been like the first divisional game or something. But
I don't think we won. I think that was that might have been the Kansas City game.
Was it? I can't remember, but I just remember that, you guys had all been betting on, whatever it was, like DraftKings, how they had all the free, like if you start, you get this much money for free, you know, yeah. And so you could put it to word bet. So you guys were betting with all the free money. And Guy and Abby were waiting for Mark Andrews to score a touchdown before the half or something, or in the quarter. Right. And he got stopped on the half yard line, mm-hmm. and didn't score the touchdown. I just remember Abby no, and falling and rolling off the couch onto the floor. Right. It was so funny. It was so dramatic. I was like, oh man, that sucks. But you know, because then that's all you're worried about. It wasn't the fact that he didn't score, because he got down to the half yard line. And then I think we scored later, but it was just after the half or whatever, or after the quarter change or whatever.
I know. It's a little silly, but
yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Football, here we go. Bills, we'll talk next week about that again, if you guys want to hear it or not. Well, you know, if we lose, we won't talk about it much. Yeah, so.
It won't be very much. We'll
be bitter.
Yeah. So we're working on a new video. It's the Great Divider, which is a mechanical splitting axe. And we started it last night, and... took the head apart, cleaned everything, and then sharpened the axe, and then did the spray paint. So I went down there this evening just to look at the spray paint again to see how it looked.
Yeah.
And it's definitely too matte. It's too flat. Yeah. So I'll grab a can of a black gloss spray paint tomorrow on the way home and give it a hit.
Cool.
But it's very, you know, when we sprayed it, it was fresh and glossy. It's great, you know. I had the thought maybe it would be a little bit shiny, or it would be just it wouldn't matter, you know, but yeah, it's definitely too flat. But that's okay. I mean, you know, it's that first coat anyway, so usually anytime you spray pretty much anything, you don't want to do more than one coat. The one thing I was thinking about in this, I don't know why it popped into my head, but just thinking about using the axe, you know, some of the paint and stuff will come off, because it's not like Japanning, which is baked on, so it's much more, it's just tougher and a harder surface, but that's okay, you know.
I mean, Thing is not going to use it that much, and if he does, it's all right.
Exactly. Get a cool look to it. It'll get a little rust on it, and that's fine. You know,
if you want to grind, sand it all off, you can.
Right. And it'll it'll protect in the cracks and stuff, you know, the stuff where water might sit, you know, that's not going to get rubbed off. And that's where you want, you want something to protect the steel.
Cool little project where I actually started editing today. I have it all edited up to, it's fully cleaned now. I guess you're about to spray, which then is just two time lapses. So I almost have it edited up to, where we're at.
Yeah. Do you care? Should I get some footage of me doing the second coat? I guess it doesn't really matter because it's going to look the same way.
Yeah, they just saw you spray paint it, and then we didn't even see the after result yet.
Right. Yeah.
I just see you go up outside and spray paint it, and then we'll just. Fade back to it being dry and done. And hey, here they are. They look great. That's it.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of a cool axe. Like I said, when I first saw it, I got it from Theo. He asked if we could, if I could restore it for him or put a new handle on it, basically. He said, would you mind sharpening and putting a new handle on it? I was like, sure. When he picked it up and handed it to me, I saw that it was a mechanical axe. I was like, oh, cool. That's that. That's the Chopper one. That's what I assumed it was, because that's the only one I've seen. And that's the most common one. It's the one that has, like, was the most popular. And I actually think, so this one is called the Great Divider, which is just another, it's basically the same thing. It's the blade starts cutting into the wood, and then you have these two levers that are L-shaped, and if you imagine the bottom part of the L is facing toward the blade on either side symmetrically, and then as the wood slides up past the bottom part of the L, when it hits the top part of the L, that it pushes it back, and it pivots on the connection between the top part and the bottom part of a capital L, and so then the bottom part pushes out. I don't know if that, like, explains it to the listeners, but, you know, because you're pushing the top part back and it's pushing the bottom parts out. And they're, like, kind of inside the body of the axe. So when it goes past the mini push out, it pops apart the wood. And so the Chopper one is the one that's the most common one. I've seen it. I've never used one, but I've seen them tons of times. I've seen other people use them, and other people post them on Axe Junkies all the time. So it was kind of cool. Like, the Chopper one also has a pretty distinctive etch, like a big, like, raised letters. Yeah. But I like the Great Divider. It's like, you know, big, bold, you know, like block letters, and has kind of a cool graphic on it. And it's a cool looking axe. It's more like, I would say.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
More like German, like it's very like big and robust and like chunky, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
And the chopper's a little bit more like swoopy and like French, maybe, you know. It's like has some lugs and has like a like flared out bit and all. So but it's got some good weight to it, and you know what, I've been doing some like research on it just to get some more information about it to be able to talk about it in the video and whatnot. And a lot of people say that, like, a lot of, like, on the forums I've read, there's a couple forums of people talking about or asking, like, where they can get, like, spare parts and stuff. And, you know, most people who say that they have them and use them, they're like, oh yeah, I love this axe. I've been using it for years since you know, my dad had one and I had one, and we always split with it and always works well. And then, you know, there's a few people that are like, well, yeah, it works great. It's fine. Like, it works pretty well. Unless you have like a real, you know, like, a knotty piece of wood or something that's real, like tons of grain or something, because then it just doesn't want to split that, right? Because the whole design is supposed to be able to split apart. But when you're splitting like really long grain wood that's really knotty, a lot of times you're like, you're splitting it, but then you're using your axe to cut through those grains all the way down. And then so like something like that. But anything like straight grain, any type of like deciduous, like pine, and like those are all going to be, you know, fir and stuff, they're all going to split. They just pop apart because they got such straight grain. But yeah, it's a cool looking axe, and I'm excited to use it because, like I said, I've never used one. So it'll be fun at the end of the video to get some like beauty shots and then go out and test it. You know, maybe do like a side by side. I have I've got like, you know, a felling axe, so a thinner axe, and then I have some splitting axes. Actually, I have a splitting maul as well that's pretty sharp. So we could test it, like, do, you know, split up four rounds and show all four, and then I'll talk about what I think, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, definitely mention that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I've actually never used a mechanical axe, so.
Yeah.
First time on camera, let's see how, you know, we'll try to chop some.
Right.
Maybe try to chop, whatever, 5 or 10, see how it goes.
Yeah, and like I said, the wood that I have, that's a couple rounds of a piece of, it's like a willow tree that was taken down, so I have some rounds of willow. They'll all be covered in snow, so we'll have to get out there and clean them off. But They should be fun, and they're all pretty straight grained. You know, it's kind of short grain, so it should pop pretty well for all four axes. So we'll see which one I like the most. And again, you know, it's going to depend. Like if I'm cutting, you know, splitting some straight grain wood, of course. Like if you have an, you know, something that's designed to just pop stuff apart, then it's going to work better, or at least work well. You know, if I make a guess at what I'm going to think, you know, like I will, like, because I'm so used to using a regular axe, which is, you know, at most 4 pounds, you know, 3 pounds, 4 pounds. I use boys' axes, which are like 2.5 pounds. You know, I think swinging something so much heavier, like 5-6 pounds, is just going to feel like a heavier axe, you know? And so it's like, I don't use it that often. So it's like, takes a lot to swing that. But if it, you know, splits wood on its first chop, then you're swinging less. Yeah. So
yeah,
I'll theorize that that's probably going to be, you know, the kind of the main thought process is like, yeah, if you use a maul, if you use an 8 pound splitting maul, it's 8 pounds, which you got to swing then 8 pounds, but it should have enough weight and mass to split your wood really quickly, as opposed to using an axe, which is going to be lighter and you can swing it faster and more, but it might not work as efficiently. You
know? Right.
So it's a trade off.
But yeah. Yeah. Well,
but it's cool.
We'll see.
And I like, I haven't ever done any paint on handles. So, I mean, other than like, you know, I did like the painting of the runes on the Viking axe, but, actually doing like some type of stylized paint. There's a company called the Best Made Company who does axes, and they're like, one of their things is that they always do like different color schemes on the bottom and stuff. And there are different people who use, like, Wrangler Star always does black on the bottom of his, and his grandfather always did red on his. And then like, Jeff Fader does like blue and red on his, or whatever, it's like some red and teal or something on the bottom of his hammer handles, you know? So it's like, people do that. They do different color schemes on handles, and it helps to like distinguish between, especially if you're like, you know, if you were a logger and you're out and everyone has, there's tons of axes around because everyone's using them, like to be able to distinguish yours from someone else's. So
yeah, it helps. And also, and you have for yours is the gradiated black thin, lines, then a little bit thicker, then thick, then full black. That would definitely stand out in a pile of wood, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's, yeah, right, exactly. It's gonna,
sometimes you lay it down, you're like, wait, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That's good.
It should be a good one. Yeah, we'll have it, hopefully finish it up Sunday, and then have it edited soon-ish, and then I can get back to the working on the mini Love of Axes documentary.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you showed me a little clip of it, and it was really fun. It's like, it had some cool parts in it that like felt very typical documentary, which was interesting. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that feels like a documentary. Like that's you know, you're putting together shots and pacing and the way you're saying things based off of all the ones you've watched and loved over the years. You know, so
yeah,
you have this like influence, but it feels like that. It feels really cool so far.
Trying to make it interesting.
I was joking with Corinne tonight because we were out dinner, we're talking, and she was blinking a lot because she had like something in her eye. And I was saying how you had mentioned to me, like, try not blinking like at all. Like just whatever you're going to say in the next 40 seconds and just don't blink. And it was surprising because when I watched that little clip of me talking, you know, I'm like there, like looking at the camera. So I'm looking into the eyes of the viewer and not blinking. And that really holds your attention.
Yeah.
You're like, cause it's like, oh yeah, you're looking at me, so I should be looking straight back at you. You know, like it feels weird to look away from someone when they're like talking to you and looking right in your eyes, like not blinking. It's like, oh yeah, that does kind of, it held me in. It was interesting.
Yeah. It's,
who was that that said that?
I heard that from Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about, if there's a close up, he doesn't, and he's trying to make something very clear. He just stare. He does not, you know, it's just another trick you can use. You start blinking and stuff as you're telling, you know, it's like, oh, you're a little unsure, you're this, you're that. But if you stare straight at someone and you don't blink, and it draws you in.
Right.
And also his other trick was, but this is for like acting with two people. If you're going to look, we don't normally think about actively looking at one eye or the other because we cannot, you know, we can't focus on two eyes. If we're looking at someone right. in the eyes, it's you're looking at an eye.
Right.
So if the camera's on your right, you know, and mm-hmm. you both of you are sitting at a table, you look at their eye that's closest to the camera.
Okay.
And it shifts your head just a little bit.
Hmm.
Those little tricks. But that he's like, not blinking, and then look at that eye.
Right.
So don't, you know, it just turns your head just an inch, you know, towards the camera.
Right.
That's for a very specific thing. But yeah, no, I heard that. I was like, oh, that makes sense. So,
yeah
say what you want. And then we tried it, and it looked good. Like, yeah. And
yeah.
Because right. I've never tried it either. Really, I've never told you not to. But for this very specific right. thing, you're like... Hey, let's just lock in and stare straight at the camera. You didn't. Yeah, you don't. There's no blinking.
Yeah.
It was nice. It's nice.
Yeah, and it wasn't like hard. You know, it was like, it's just a thing I thought about a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, okay. But once I started talking, you know, I already had, like, we had done a couple of takes, so I knew what I was going to say. So it was a matter of just trying to, like, say it in a kind of natural way, but also very purposeful, you know, and then also looking at the camera, like, not blinking.
Yeah, and it makes sense, funny. Too, because you think about, like, if you're teaching your kid something, or like you see that they're doing something, and you're like, you stay, you don't look away, you lock in on them,
right?
You're not blinking. It's like you're looking straight.
Yeah.
Hey, look listen, at me. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Look, you got to do it this way, or you're teaching them something. Like, hey, keep, right, look, hey, now you got to keep your glove up. Do this, like, but you're like looking straight at them, like locking in on them.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah, we got that. We got three different. Chunks of you talking to camera and then footage of you, you know, just chopping wood and stuff and preparing a fire in between the archival footage. So we'll see. I like I said, I did, that's like a quarter of it, that little 3 minute chunk. So
right.
Yeah. I'll keep working. See, well, that's how, cool. See how it goes.
So we had at my school, we're like, there's a, we're putting together a video, or the graph design classes are putting together a video of like a promotional video for the school. Cause we kind of like add, or we change it up a little bit every couple years, and they go out to like when we send stuff out to schools, like middle schools and stuff, when they're getting ready to do high school applications, you know, just information about the school. So the graph design students asked me to come up and talk a little bit, you know, it's like, introduce yourself, you know, give us a reason or two why you think students should come to the school, you know, come to BDS, and then do like a quick wrap up. And then I was like, okay, you know, so they were like getting set up with like the camera and check in, like they were doing a little, like, what's it called? The little board, you know, the like take two,
the clapper
thing. Yeah. And like, and then like, so the girl that was like kind of directing me, she was like, okay, you know, like, you know, she said, and she kind of gave me his ankle, like, hi, my name is Maya, da, 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 da. You know, she, like, did it really quickly. I was like, okay. And then while they were, like, getting ready, you know, I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. Da, 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 da. Like, I did it really quickly in my head. And she was like, okay, you just, like, you want to practice? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I got it. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to say. And I already, like, and then she's like, okay. And then I'm waiting for them to say, like, rolling or something, or go ahead, mm-hmm. you know. And she's, like, standing in front of me, and she's like, and she like nods. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'm going. And then like, so I just like said my part. I was like, like I said it, and you know, it was kind of like just the way I am on camera. Like, and she was like, oh, okay, good. And she was like, let me see. And she like listened to the sound. She's like, it sounds good. She's like, all right, you're good. I'm like, cool, thanks. I'm like, one take. I'm like, and I was like, do you guys know I have a YouTube channel? And like a couple of them knew him, a couple of them didn't know, you know. And I was like, yeah, I was like, my brother is way harder. Like when he's like, when he's like asked me to do it, like, you know, a bunch of times and try this and try that, you know. But I think we're also used to working together so much. So we're always like, we know, you know, you're looking at like the speed of it and the fluidity of it. And of course, like we'll do multiple takes, but like that one that I did with her, like Tink came out pretty clean. And she's like, oh yeah, that sounds good. All right, you're good. I was like, no, I'm good. I don't need to practice. I know what I'm going to say. But I guess in my mind, it's like, I'll practice on the take, you know, like if it's right. weird, then we'll do it again.
Let's work,
you know,
it out. Like, yeah. Cause yeah, you never, the only thing we do before the intros and stuff is just you and I talk about it.
Yeah, like
I'm thinking about this, and you're like, yeah, we're gonna. This is how I feel. Maybe we should do this. And you know, if I say anything, it's just like, hey, let's do this, this, and this part. And then if after we do it, hey, maybe
maybe let's leave this part out.
Yeah, leave that part out. We'll talk about it later. But
yeah,
it's just trying to. You're editing on the fly,
right? Yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
And that's surprisingly always been like fairly easy, you know. And like, because obviously we're talking about it, you know, and like we both have this like vision of the where the video is going, you know, and I know what I want to say because I have in my head what the next part is or what I'm thinking about. But then when I say it out loud, sometimes it's like fine, and sometimes it's like, eh, that's kind of weird, or like you're like, oh, maybe this way, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, you know. So it's like just hearing it out loud, which is like that is the practicing, but it's always just like. You assume you're going to take a couple of takes, so that first take is the practice, because you never know. It could be perfect.
Yeah.
Or part of it could be really good, you know.
So. Right.
But it was kind of fun. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. So, next week maybe some more Ravens talk. That'll be fun. It'll either be fun or it'll be depressing, but one way or the other.
Be very short.
Before we get into our recommendations, I wanted to say that I did watch the video that you suggested last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Francis Benoit, whatever it is.
Francis, yeah.
What's it? Yeah. Francis, I can't remember.
Bourgeois.
Yeah. Francis Bourgeois. I will say that maybe it like came up on me too quick. It wasn't as much of a build up as I was expecting.
Yeah.
So maybe I think that's because you would like talk to me about it. Right. So yeah,
but also, yeah, I think, you know, I just hyped it up too much, but also it was whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Again, it's like a weird place you're in. Like, I was just sitting there, me and Maeve were sitting there watching it together. And I don't know, for whatever reason, it just hit more. I don't know if it's because I was sitting with my daughter and we were, like, enjoying it together and, like, waiting. But also, I kind of gave it away in the thing. And I wasn't sure if they'd see it during the thing.
Right.
I don't know. It hit well. I wasn't, like, bawling. It was happy.
No,
like,
yeah.
Oh, this is great. Because again, and he's like tearing up too.
Yeah.
It was also genuine. And also, maybe it's a little bit of like the camera guy in me, like the perfect shot.
Right.
Like, how cool is that when you like see it come out of nowhere? He's like, oh, there it is.
And it's right next to them.
And the music, like, it's loud. It's like, ah, it's so awesome. Like cheering.
And they're like waving, and the guys are waving back. You
know, right, like, and after he gets, he's like, "Fuck yeah!" Like,
he
like gets on. He's like, "Yeah!" He's like cheering at the camera car,
and the like, and, like the driver, that guy. He was like,
"Yeah."
You could tell he like at first it was like kind of a bit. You know, the video was kind of a bit,
right?
But then as it went on and on, he got into it. He was like, "Oh yeah." And then he was like, "Real," and then it was like very real. You know,
right,
it was like
then he kept kind of going like, "I really enjoy that. I really like that." Like you can tell he was working, and then he was like, "You know what? It was that thing we always talk about—the enthusiastic person about a random thing that just pulls you in." And by the end of the day, he's like, he's all giddy, and he's like in the locomotive, and he's like talking to the guys, and he's like. So happy to be there. He's like, man, that was great.
I like how he just like walks up in the locomotive, you know, like it seemed like it was a little bit like quick, you know, because like Francis walks up and he's like talking to them and he's like shaking their hand from below. He doesn't go up in, but then the other guy just like walks up and then just walks right up into the locomotive.
I think they just cut something where.
Yeah,
it was already like agreed, like, or someone went like, "Hey, come on in," and then they turned the camera on, and he's like, "All right, yeah, sure."
Yeah,
but no, I definitely agree. At first, I was like, "Oh, dang, he's just gonna," but he's also a big deal.
Yeah, that
he would just do it. But and so Francis is bigger than I knew.
Right. Yeah.
He had a BB, like a British. Apparently, he did have a show where he like did train spotting with celebrities.
Okay.
So he is a bigger name, but but that was a few years ago. So I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably just doing YouTube and making these shows. And I mean, he was with Chris Harris, which is a huge name. So
yeah,
but no, it's just a really cool video.
Yeah, it was great. And that scene was just awesome. You know, right. Like, because you know, like, they're expecting to be close, right? Because they're, like, racing it. And they do the build up where it's like they got to go in a slow area and then they go in a fast area. And then know they're going to be close. Like, you assume they're going to be next to the train. But right. you don't know. I don't think they knew that they'd be right next to, like, the locomotive, which is the whole point, you know?
Right.
Is to be there at the front of the train.
And you can't, know? Like, no matter awesome. What you do, you cannot time that perfectly.
Right.
Even if they were talking to the locomotive and they were, mm-hmm. like, even if they knew exactly where it was, they're on a busy highway.
Right. Yeah.
Like, exactly. Where they, like, you know, in the beginning, they just couldn't catch up in the beginning. They were trying, mm-hmm. but, you know, you saw the cool, like, that plumes of smoke, like, going off in the distance. And then, you know, it just worked out. No, it was really cool.
Yeah. No, it was cool. And I could tell, like, the whole, it was emotional. It was a cool build up, and the scene was so powerful, you know, but it was like, I mean, it didn't make me tear up, but not to say that it wouldn't have if I was like I said, I think the reason was because it happened before I was expecting it to happen, you know? Yeah. I was like, oh, that's the moment. This is it. Like, they got it, you know? Like, I was kind of expecting, like, some more build up maybe or something, you know? Like, but no, it was great. It was so cool. And just, like, seeing those, like, going as fast as they are, you know, like, just chugging along. And
oh, it's amazing.
They look so powerful. Cool. It's, like, so much energy. Like, just killing it. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I have two recommendations this week. One is a book I'm reading, and the other one is a show I'm watching. So the book is called Orcs and Crake, and it's by Margaret Atwood, who wrote, like, The Handmaid's Tale and some other books. Orcs and Crake is kind of like a post-apocalyptic book. It's one that Nicole got me for Yola Book of Flood. and it's pretty good so far. I'm about, like, maybe a quarter of the way in, but it's cool. It's following this main character, and he calls himself Snowman. And he's, like, old, and he lives kind of, like, in the woods. He's kind of a hermit, but he's, like, one of the last of kind of a dying era of people who are pre, like, bio-changed. So there's, like, when he was younger, his dad worked for a bio company, and they were, like, they're doing all this experimentation and, like, growing human organs on pigs or on different animals. And, you know, like, so they're basically, like, figuring out how to grow and how to, like, manipulate human genes and stuff and be able to basically, you know, whole new skins and give people, like, you know, fresh new skin if they can pay high enough for it, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I haven't gotten to, like, the how this whole, like, bio experimentation companies, you know, creates basically the end of the world. But even at the time, like, when he's recounting back as a kid, he's talking about how it was still, like, it was a weird, like, changed world, because the adults talk about, well, then when they were kids, it was all, like, you could go wherever you wanted, you could live wherever you wanted, and, you know, like, people drove places, and, you know, where that they're now, they're, like, living in a complex that's, like, for all the workers of their company, you know. And then there are these, like, different outward, like, the outside towns, or are they called, like, the plebeians or the plebelands, where the different, like, you know, kind of the lower class people live that are not, like, in these kind of towns or complexes that these companies owns. And then him talking about, you know, then in the current day of the book, he's older, and there are, like, you know, now some of these animals that they were doing experiments on are out in the world, and they're, like, things, like, bred together, like, raccoons and skunks, you know, they're, like, breeding them so that way the skunks wouldn't be smelly, you know, or things like that, you know. So, like, all these different animals, and he's, like, you know, he's, like, trying to remember these words and terms from when he was a kid that are gone completely now because the world's different. So, but it's a cool book. I like it so far. So, so that's Orcs and Crake by Margaret Atwood. And then the show that I'm watching, and I just started it, and I'm, like, three quarters of the way through the first episode, but so far it's pretty good. American Primeval. And it's a Netflix show that just came out in, I think, January 9th. And it's the story of a mother and son who are kind of on the run, kind of from like a bounty from something that happened in their past life, and they're heading out to Utah to meet up supposedly with her husband who lives out in Utah, and or maybe they're going out past Utah or whatever, but it's like some stuff about the Mormons out there, and then it's, you know, Native Americans and westward expansion, and it's basically like a Wild West show, but it's like really gritty, and it was filmed like in all these crazy like crazy weather, you know, like in the like negative 10s with snow out in the wherever they filmed this, as all the actors are like really acting and doing this stuff in this crazy environments, and it's like the filming is really cool. It's kind of has that like sometimes that first person feel where you're like you feel like you're running around with the people, and
yeah
it's really it's like gritty and raw, and the characters are raw, and yeah, it's pretty good so far. I really liked it. Before the podcast, when I was waiting for you to hop on, I was reading. So I went over and checked out Rotten Tomatoes, and I think it has like in the high 60s or something on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
okay.
You know, it's like I think a lot of people's like the biggest complaints is that the character development isn't that great. You know, like the show is beautiful and it's like, it's crazy and it's gritty and it's raw and it's violent, but
I mean, that, the characters that might a little be true. Bit... You've only watched less than an episode.
No. Yeah. No, it could be, you know, and I mean, that seemed like the consensus, like most of, you know, so most of the critics were rating it like, you know, not rotten, but not amazing, you know? Right. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, like I like that. Like I like it for the visuals, you know, I can appreciate it for that, you know? And, yeah, so it's pretty cool. So American Primeval, I like it. It's on Netflix so far, so good.
You gotta watch Shogun. Jump into that.
I tried to log into Disney Plus on my phone, but I don't think, like, I'm not signed in on my phone, and then I have to, whisper, stealing it from my uncle or my my wife's uncle, who has not stealing it, but he is like, here, use our password. Sure, you got Disney Plus. Yeah. So like, I was like, I went to log in and it was like at night or something. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to like text him for his, cause I have to like re-log in with his password. So, but it's already like, it's pre-signed in on our TV, you know, on the Fire Stick. So I could check it there. But.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier, I've been watching Anne of All Trades, which is, you know, everyone kind of knows, and it's kind of around like the Maker Camp community, and we've never really talked to her, but she's just been around. Seen her. She's been obviously she's got a huge channel, but she's got great. She now is at the farm or whatever, or the last, you know, whatever bunch of years she's been at this farm, and they're just fun farm videos. So I've been watching all her farm videos with my kids, and they love it. So just watch her talking about whatever, all the trials and tribulations of having a farm and becoming a farmer. There's so much stuff to learn, and when I'm watching, I'm just like, why would you have this many? She just got everything. She's every type of animal other than large, like farm animal. Livestock.
Oh, okay.
But even that, she's got cows. I guess she doesn't have horses. She has donkeys.
Right.
So maybe just not horses. But well,
that seems silly. If you're going to be a farmer,
I know. You might as well have a horse, but I guess
ride around.
You need more.
Yeah, more land and more grazing, you know, pasture.
And pigs and alpacas and bunnies and ducks and geese and goats. Yeah. And it's wild.
Dang.
a lot of these ones died and this one, I didn't figure out this until that and this, and it's so much work.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some chickens, but that's about as far as it goes. But
you're like, why?
Caitlin's already had chickens, and they're easy. I just do that and get some eggs.
Her family had them when she was growing up?
When they were in the nicer house in Westminster, they got chickens because I think Caitlin was interested.
Oh, nice.
So they had them for like 5 years or something, or four, maybe less.
Right.
But, you know, so Sweet. They know that you know, the chicken thing. When I started dating her, they were there.
Ah,
and
we
would go out and feed them and stuff, and
yeah,
it was cool. It's nice, and they're so easy and relatively cheap compared to everything else. So yeah, almost anyone can do chickens.
Yeah, well, you have to get a chicken cone when you're doing the harvesting. Once they stop laying.
Oh, I know. Well, that's the thing. Then you decide, like, is this another step I want to take?
Yeah, right.
Kill
exactly.
It, need it, and figure out probably, well, you know.
Yeah, and we did, like, so the first time Sean had to kill one of their chickens, because they had chickens, Kate and Sean, he was like, I went over to help him just to, like, you know, hold the chicken and, like, mm-hmm. you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? And then also to, like, skin it and gut it and, you know, mm-hmm. take out whatever, you know, eat whatever you could and whatnot. So you have this cone. So he just had like a metal, like thin sheet metal, just made a cone with a hole at the bottom. That's basically just big right. enough for the head of the chicken to go through.
Right.
And then you turn the chicken upside down yeah. and you pull him down in through and stick his head out. And then you grab his head and yeah. cut his neck. Uh-huh. But it's the way to like keep him in that shape, in that space, you know, so that way it can like blood out, drain out. But like, right. yeah, it's, you know, it takes a little bit of, like wherewithal. It's a little bit of, you know, yeah, some grit yeah. to do it. Yeah. And like, I'm not skittish at all with like the death of animals. You know, it's like, right. like I, like when in the past, like if there's like a mouse that's stuck in a glue trap yeah. and I have to like put it out of its misery, like that doesn't bother yeah. me at all. Like, of course it bothers me. It's like, oh, it's unfortunate, but it doesn't bother. Like I'm not, it doesn't, I don't like get skittish from that. So,
you know,
it didn't bother me, but it was, you know, it was a experience.
Yeah, so. Chickens, you know, that's another step up, and they're, yeah. and they've been helping you. It's not mm-hmm. the opposite. They're not a pest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you've known them and fed them and tried to keep them alive, and
right,
they've provided you with all types of food, you know?
Yeah.
No, I understand, and
right.
It is what it is, and we don't get that many chances to do that anyway, so it's going to hit us harder. I'm sure if we worked on a farm and we did that every day.
Right.
Okay, yeah, this week, you know, we got a lot. There's all these sick, you know, you got to kill 10 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get yeah. a little numb to it, but if you only kill one every few years, it's a little tough. And right, and yeah. modern, like, we're not farmers. Yeah. We'll have them next to our house, you know, in the right, suburbs exactly, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you name them and talk to them.
Yep.
And they're your buddies yeah. and your kids play with them and it's different.
Nice. Yeah. You'll have to let like Maeve and Grant name them.
Yeah,
or, you know, like, yeah. So depending on how many you get, you know, like when the Greens got their chickens for the first time, I think they got four, mm-hmm. and so each, or no, they got five, and so they each named one of the chickens, and then they their dog honorarily named the last chicken, which was Barks, like that was the name of the chicken, but there was like. Oh, I wish I could remember their names. They're so much fun, you know, because, like, Catherine and David were young-ish at the time. You know, mm-hmm. Catherine was probably, like, 8, and David was 3.5 or 4, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Peeps Warrior was one of them. And, like, I forget, but they were, like, just, it's, like, a bunch of fun names. So, like, you should let Maeve, you know, name one or whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you can, you know, let her, or name one or two or something. Like, this one's, like, Goldie Happy or something, you know, right. like just something silly, you know, because they're fun names.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll be fun. So maybe this year.
Nice. Cool. All right. Anne of all trades. That's cool. Yeah, I'd like to meet Anne. She seems pretty cool. Like I said, I've seen her around. I've seen her videos and stuff, and she just seems like very down to earth and easygoing.
Yeah.
Like a friendly person. So
reach out, have her on the pod.
Yeah, we can do that. Tell us about farming.
Yeah, that's another thing for this year. Some of our paths should be not necessarily with Anne, but people we know, collab yeah. videos. So we haven't done yeah. a collab video in so long, or maybe yeah. we've done some, but we should do
right.
You know, that are a little bit more involved and people we talk to all the time anyway and like and.
Yeah.
You know, why not? It just adds another layer to it. It's fun, and more people see it. Why not?
Yeah.
We do a lot of the, you know, Knife Maker Challenge collabs, which are nice, but that's a whole different thing. So we should do our own directly with, you know, one or two people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and most people are usually, like, they're all for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to a couple different people, some people that I know pretty well and some people that I don't know well at all, but I just suggested, you know, like, hey, you know, I suggested something, and then they're like, oh, sounds great. And then we kind of start a conversation, like, yeah, maybe we'll do a collaboration, you know? It's like, most people are cool with that, right? It's just, like, more content. Sure. Like, it's different and more content, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah, that's one of those things you got to figure out, like, how do you do it the best? You know, how do you do a collaboration that like makes sense for both parties? You know, it's like as maker channels, you know, like maybe it's
something different. You have to think what they can do and what you can do, or trading things, or or adding on to things, you know.
Right. Or if it's just like a thematic collaboration where like both people are doing something, or I make it in your style and you make it in my style. Let's see if it, you know, and then put out videos like that, you know, something like that. It'd be kind of fun. So,
all right.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us and chatting about Lindsay Woolsey and the Ravens and the Great Divider. I looked up the title, Lindsay Woolsey. check out our videos over on YouTube. We've got the sword video. I think, what is it? The newest sword video. That's the newest one we have over there. But we have the great disc video will be coming out kind of soon. And
the pan video. So,
what's that?
The pan video.
Yeah. That is the one. Somebody mentioned, they were like, you just put it together in pieces. Or he talked about stamping the AOC on the handle.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I don't know why you stamped the AOC on the handle. You didn't make it. You just put pieces together. And my comment back was like, did I need to smelt the iron from stone? And like, I gave him one of those. I was like,
Yeah, but, how far back do you go?
Yeah, but that seems like that video has gotten some good feedback on it, which is cool. So check that out. Let us know what you think. The new the house made.
Kind of a collab, but not. At least, you know, we were given the kit and then did them. That was nice. And I actually reached out to Brian, like, hey, can I get some footage?
Nice, yeah.
And then, but I was already editing, so I just pulled it from his video.
Right,
yeah. And I just screen recorded.
Mm-hmm.
The shots of him making it. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to use that if you don't mind.
Like, nice, yeah.
I'll just use a few clips from your video.
Nice.
And actually, just to make sure it didn't, like, get copyright stroked, mm-hmm. I mirrored the image. So if you look at his, it's backwards.
That's great. That's funny. Tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, that one turned out good. So let us know what you think about that too. That's fun. And you know, if you feel passionate about the whole maker or not maker thing, depending on how you feel about that, you can go in and add a comment onto that comment. Let that guy know what you think about makers altering what's already out there in the room.
They are and they're great pans. So if you want them, go get them and tell Brian we sent
you. Yeah, and for, like, you know, coming away with something that it can be a, you know, an heirloom piece of kitchenware that could potentially last you forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ridiculously good price, so. Yeah, man. All right, and, you know, head over to Instagram, check out over there. I actually just posted the knife that I made for the very first YouTube Knife Maker Challenge, the Gyota. I posted that recently, and which got me flagged and back on the shadow ban list, so that'll be up for a few more days, and I'll take it back down, so I'm not shadow banned anymore. but yeah, I actually had a guy reach out to me and ask me if I could ask to commission one, so maybe I will do a commission. We'll see. But yeah, check that on Instagram. Check out what's going on over there, and you can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship and Devin at The Art of Camera Guy to see what's going on. He's got some pictures of the new axe we're working on, so maybe post a few over there, Dev. And, and then if you want to support the channel and the podcast further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and, support us there. I think for as little as $1 a month. So if you feel passionate about that and you want to go over and support what we do, all that money goes back into what we do here on the channel. It's not a ton, but it does make a difference. You know, every once in a while we pull it out and buy some new gear or, you know, get something that'll make the channel better. So thank you to all of those.
It's patrons. Usually we're surprised that it's, you know, whatever it is. It's not crazy money, but it will be hundreds of dollars.
Right.
Like, oh, maybe we can buy a new thing. Like, I've been thinking about this. You know, So it's really nice. It's one of those. It's an expense that we wouldn't do if it were on our own, because we can't just, you know, we're not just going to be like, hey, we want to spend $600 on something. It's like, nah, maybe not. But if it comes
going
in.
Going over and seeing that money.
Yeah, you see, you're like, patrons. Oh, shoot, let's do it. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt us, you know, which makes it so much better. And we just have the gear. We just keep buying new stuff. And we're trying. We're trying to do new and different stuff. And there you go.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cool. Well, that's it. Thanks, Devin. It's fun chatting again, as quick as it felt like it was from last week to this week. It was like
2 days ago.
We're on episode 196. So,
Oh, really?
Four more episodes. We're in 200. Yeah.
Well, let's, I think we got some good guests coming up. We've been talking about getting a few guests. Maybe we can do a run of guests.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be fun. And then, like, do something special for the episode 196. I don't know, we'll see. But
196?
I mean, sorry, episode 100. 200. I looked up and saw 196.
All right, this is 196, everybody. Yeah, we made it.
It's the good one.
We've been talking about 196.
You guys don't know about 196.
Actually, I think you probably, didn't you miscount some? That might actually be 200.
Yeah, there's something back in the
in the
lists of stuff in the podcast
so
list.
We'll have a 196 celebration. Sure.
Yeah, right.
200.
196. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, Devin. Always a blast, brother.
All right, bud.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.